heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Driving in a car and you see the red and blue lights behind you, you know, in the rear view window. And yeah, you're being pulled over by law enforcement, potentially the local police, or could be the state police or what have you, sheriff, whatever it might be, wherever you live, right? How about we probably have all seen that picture at one time or another, right? And what goes through your mind right away? It's kind of the first thing I think is probably a moment of fear. Probably a quick moment of fear, and you're thinking, oh man. And then you think, what did I do? And you know darn well what you did. We all know what we did. Probably we were speeding and we see the lights and we think, or maybe you went through a stop sign or you did something else. God only knows. But, and that's called traffic enforcement, of course. And so we're not all on the road driving 100 miles an hour, killing each other as you try to cross the sidewalk. Or you remember the picture of the old lady that's crossing the sidewalk and she gets no respect, right? As people rev their cars by her. But what kind of a society would that be, I wonder, where we didn't have to worry about speed? Now, as a kid, as a young person in your teens or early 20s, it's actually kind of cool. I mean, I can think about that on those terms and think, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like driving on the Autobahn, you know, where there is no speed limit at different parts of the Autobahn now, not the whole thing, but, or where the limits are really high, where you can drive like 120 miles an hour, right? That'd be kind of cool. And so you think of those terms, and you can see where some of the young people are today thinking, oh man, this would look pretty cool with no police. We could just do whatever we want. And of course, you know, a lot of the other rules have already changed in a lot of states, in a lot of cities, and you can already get as high as a kite as you'd like. That's already doable because they're legalizing drugs and marijuana and just about everything else will be legal shortly. So you can get as high as you want all the time and just sit back and enjoy the good life, right? I mean, there are some people that is a fairly aggressive agenda for them. It's their dream or their vision of a utopian world that they're trying to accomplish. And then you don't have to have the police when you're high and you're in your car and you're driving like a fool, potentially killing somebody. But you know, that scenario I draw out there, I mean, you can all relate to what I'm saying. And it depends what side of that you're on, because when you're the recipient of the ticket, it never feels good. Let's face it. I mean, a couple of $100 later, you've been reprimanded by the police. And I got all kinds of stories I could tell you about that as a young lad. You have enough time for me to give you those stories, maybe? And I'm sure you got your own stories. We could share them with each other one time, right? And that really happens. But now you're seeing all this defunding police business. And when I started hearing it, I really had never fathomed such a thought of what that would look like. I didn't even cross my mind it was a possibility. Like, what would that look like? Like, is that for real? Is that a real discussion we're going to have next? Well, people, we talk about everything now, don't we? I mean, we have everything out of the closet now. There's nothing sacred anymore. You know that. I mean, come on. So they just keep breaking the rules, changing the rules, and moving the game forward. It is really Jumanji, that Jumanji game. I don't know what level we're on now, but the levels keep getting a little stranger as we get into the game there. We're seeing that now, people. We're seeing that now with law enforcement, police, from sea to shining sea, sadly, as we see the country being ripped apart here. One of the big movements I want to talk to you about today is what this looks like in defunding the police. This is really being talked about. It's real discussion in city councils, the mayors, the governors. People are discussing. I'll give you some points of action on that in just a moment here, yeah? But in the meantime, it's safe to say that America is bleeding at the moment. There is a scab that has been pulled wide open, people. It's a scab that goes back a long way. And that scab is easily exposed when you rip it off and you see what's underneath the scab. It never looks pleasant, people. I've never seen anyone that pulls a scab off where it looks pleasant underneath. It's pretty rough, actually. And that is what we have. The problem here is that the people who are ripping the scab off, and the scab was ripped off in Minneapolis, let's face it, from the boneheaded officer there who did the unthinkable and kept his body weight and knee and leg on the young man. I mean, that was the bonehead who ripped the scab off. And the other people, cast of characters, the officers who also sat on the guy. Now, I don't ever believe for a minute this was about race. I'm not sure it ever had a darn thing to do about race. I think these people were just a few pieces short of a brain, you see. And but, you know, you can call it whatever you want. Whatever your argument is, you can pick that up quickly and, you know, you can find an issue here. But the real issue is that these guys broke the law. They murdered somebody, really. And they're supposed to protect people. They're not supposed to kill people. That's the intent of law enforcement. Now, people, I have a lot of law enforcement on America Out Loud. You know that. A lot of military as well. We absolutely support law enforcement and military here in a civil society and a God-loving society. And everything that you desire and what that looks like is what we're about, what I'm about here. But really now, when you dive into this and you understand what's behind all of this, that's what I really want to talk today about, is these terrorist groups. You know, I remember a time, oddly enough, where all we were worried about is the ISIS people who would run around the planet cutting people's heads off by the waterside there, you know. They wore the orange jumpsuits, remember? And that's when terrorism really had a different connotation to it, right? And boy, were those the simpler days, huh? Just think about that. Just a few years back, actually, after 9/11, when that all sort of exposed itself and more of that evil came out around the globe. You know, and we thought, what kind of insanity is that? Well, there's a lot of insanity to that. But friends, weren't those the easier, simpler days when we could identify the terrorists as who they were? Now it's a bit difficult to do that. The problem with that is that the terrorists walk among us, you see. They're in society here. And that's one level of terrorism, this domestic terrorism. And those other terrorists that are overseas as well, the people who cut the heads off and go to Allah to see the angels and the virgins and all of that crazy stuff, you know, those people are also here, by the way. They're in cities and towns, and they're being populated throughout America. And they're loving what they're seeing right now, by the way. In fact, that brings me to a point I wanted to mention to you. I mean, the world leaders are, well, some are in total shock and despair about what is happening to America. And I think some people, I wonder if they're embarrassed. The fact that, because we do put our dirty laundry out there. We don't hide a lot here in America. To a lot of other countries, they look and say, the hell's the matter with these people? That's their brand of liberty? What's going on over there? We do tend to beat the hell out of each other, don't we? There's a whole history behind that as well, by the way. A lot of this stuff, you always wonder, at least I do, do we ever learn a lesson? Does mankind ever learn anything? Does humanity learn? Do Americans learn? Or do we just keep repeating the same mistakes? Sad, isn't it? Huh? Sad that we can't learn from our ancestors a bit and figure it out to have a more harmonious life. There are forces right now that are trying to divide the military and the police force here in this country. Make no mistake about it. They are attempting, listen to me carefully with what I tell you now. They're trying to divide and get a wedge in there between the United States military and the police force, the domestic police force, law enforcement, you see. And then you have, of course, ESPER, the Department of Defense, and you have the military breaking ranks and the generals speaking out. And we're sort of falling apart and crumbling at the seams at a moment. That scab is really exposed right now, isn't it? And so many walks of life. And there's a lot of blame to go around. The president is being accused of dividing the nation more and more. That's what Mattis says. He said he'd never seen a president do this before. Well, I think a lot of presidents have done it. You know, and Barack Obama's a perfect case. He divided the country on a consistent basis. I know I was there. Don't tell me. And there are plenty of presidents who've divided this nation. Part of the problem we've got to talk about here and have a real adult conversation about is President Trump doing all he can to unite the country? You see, because that's really a load. And then will anything ever appease these people on the far left? I mean, will anything ever bring them to a point of having a conversation without having a knife in your back? I wonder. You know, you could just imagine if number 44 had went over to the church with the Bible, you could know the media would celebrate that and say, this guy is a hero. He is a hero to pull up Christianity like that, even though most people would argue with that and say he really is more of a force of Allah. But that's okay. He still put on a good, proper position. He went over to the church and did a Bible, and the media would celebrate that. It would be, this man is a hero for uniting the country. Now, however he got over there wouldn't even be the question. They wouldn't even be talking about the bystanders or the citizens. And you know that, people. It just comes down to your ideology. It's all it is. If you like Obama, you thought he was doing a fabulous, swell job for the nation, and this Trump guy sucks, and he's not doing such a good job, then come on. It's easy to, you know, see where your alliances fit there. But, you know, Trump goes over and does that, and this guy is a despicable creature who is forever using the forces of good for evil. Now, you can say a lot of things about 45, and he's not the most eloquent speaker at times. If you listen to him speak compared to Ronald Reagan, I mean, you're talking apples, avocados, and, you know, peaches that are going bad somehow. I mean, they're different entirely. Everybody's different. Aren't we all different? It's a beautiful thing about the country, about our nation. Trump has a different way of doing business. So now this defunding the police forces, let's get back to that a moment here. Because now you're hearing this narrative here. They want to, defund the police forces. They want to remove them from the streets. They want to pull them down. That's their utopia world they're trying to reach for. Now this is really being discussed in places like Minneapolis, Phoenix, Los Angeles, even Nashville, many places. It's all over the place. The problem here with all of this and this whole Minneapolis scab moment that we have is that the forces of evil behind this, all these conversations you hear about the Antifa group there, you know, and the other Black Lives Matter movement and the radical extremist groups, whoever they may be, and they're all over the place. There's a bunch of them, actually, both local and domestic and international that are here, you see. It's kind of a meeting ground for all kinds of lunatics, actually. And that's thanks to our fabulous immigration policies that we have, that you never know who the hell is walking out down on the streets or down your sidewalk in your neighborhood, do you know? You know, you can thank the immigration forces for that and the far left lunatics. And so this concept of defunding the police is an actual conversation they're having, but what they're really doing is they're using the flames of racism to do it, people. Now, I said the boneheaded officer in Minneapolis there, I don't know that color was anything about anything. I mean, the guy could be racist. He may not. I don't really know. I don't know the man. Never had a drink with him. Never had a conversation with him. I don't know him. I don't know whether he's racist or not. And I really don't give a rat's ass at this point. Because all that does is pull us all down and separate us. And this whole racism thing, I mean, hasn't America grown up yet? Are we still back into that simple thing of the Crayola box of colors? You're white, you're yellow, you're black, you're brown, you're pink, you're this, you're that. I mean, come on, people. We're still judging people by skin color? What is it that these people are so shallow and so unintelligent? And the problem of what we're dealing with here, people, we're dealing with people that use this as a political argument to divide the people. That is their only purpose and intent. You know full well they do not want to talk about policy and principle ever. They don't want to argue the quality of life or the utopia world that we're looking at or looking for, the America we'd like to see, the one that was started back in 1776 where the framers and the founders fought for this country. They don't want to talk about the Constitution, really, ever, but they don't want to talk about the kind of life we're looking for. So you use racism as a distraction. That's how you move the shell game around, and you look over in the room. You say, look over there, because what's really happening on is over that way, you see? So racism and hatred are just to fuel the unrest. This has nothing to do with racism. I don't believe it does. It may still exist in worlds. I'm sure it does, people. I just don't hang with those people, so I can't tell you about it. Because it is the lowest possible denominator on the planet. People who use racism as some sort of a badge of honor are despicable, evil creatures. The real goal here of these groups is to create a Marxist state for America. Now, you know, I heard that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I really didn't pay a lot of attention at the time. And I thought, yeah, in your dreams, I would say to somebody who's, because people used to say that. They used to, you know, people always talk trash like that, you know, come on. And they would use that whole argument about a Marxist state. That's not happening. Communism, that's not happening here. Shut up already. At one point, this was a bit of a joke. It was something that never really came up at the water cooler because it was an insane conversation. But there were a lot of things insane in the day, people. Just like killing your babies when they're born and, you know, and sharing bathrooms and this whole sexual revolution that nothing really matters anymore, but they just want a little bit more. Give me a little bit more. I want a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. That's all they want. What's so wrong with that? Defund the police, damn it. Just a little bit more. How much more do you give? When is it that middle America stands up and says, enough of this? Can't play that game anymore. When does that happen? Does that happen in November 2020? Is that when America stands up? There are a lot of people who think this election is in the bag already. Part of the people think this election is in the bag for Donald J. Trump. He'll win all 50 states. So you can keep your fat ass at home on the sofa and not worry about a thing. You don't have to vote or do a darn thing. He's got it licked and the people will rise and you don't need to worry about it. You go back to your utopian world, you fat bastard, right? And there are plenty of those people on the left and the right. And then there are the other part of the population who believe that, you know, that Barack Obama, I mean, Joe Biden, the same guy, but because if Joe Biden, God forbid, one mosquito catcher, you know who would be pulling the strings of that. It would be the Marxist, the man himself, Barack Obama. That's who would be pulling the strings of that presidency. You know, I seen a video clip the other day of Biden just yesterday. Unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen this, people, but it was on The View. Now, this is a program I do not watch, I assure you. But then again, people, I don't watch any television. I don't watch any of these clowns. If you're populating and polluting your brain cells by watching this thing, then I feel sorry for you. But I seen the video clip in my news feed because I have to be informed as a news commentator to what these clowns and ignorant people are talking about, you see. And he was at The View just in the last many days somewhere, whenever the hell that played. And I'll tell you what, people, if you haven't seen that, go look it up, please. This latest one, whenever it was that it ran, that he was on there. It is astounding. Absolutely blistering. Astounding. The video clip itself, they showed the faces of the women as Biden is talking incessantly for several minutes. That's the only part I've seen. I didn't see the rest of the whole show or anything. God, I would need 3 or 4 or 5 drinks to be able to do that, to watch those people. You know, just see this clip and you can't, this is no joke now. This is no joke and I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm not trying to, just go look at that and you tell me if this man could run and win or be the leader of anything, I mean, the local Girl Scout unit, I don't know he could run. He made zero. I'm not just saying that. Go listen, watch that clip, please, and see what we're dealing with here, please, okay? But you cannot take that for granted, because that's a puppet. They're happy to stand up and hold on up on its back end, because all these people really want to do is manipulate, and it's about their status quo and what they want to accomplish here. These radical groups we're seeing forming all over, that have formed over the last 20 years throughout our great nation, are now on a movement here. And it's a big movement that is being controlled and funded by outside forces around the globe. You hear the name all the time. It's another name I used to snicker at and laugh when people used to talk about it 20 years ago, 10 years ago, George Soros. People would say the name and I would think, because, you know, I'm a logical thinker, people. I need to see the evidence. I'm not easily led. And I'd think, what the hell are you talking about, Soros? Get out of here. He's not going to do anything wrong. He's not going to be able to get America. Who is this nut? You know, there's a lot more to Soros, isn't it, now? And, of course, the rest of the characters, there's a whole host of them. I mean, Soros is like 180 years old right about now. I mean, he's pretty old, but he's got a whole family of terrorists there. That's the problem. You see, terrorists breed terrorists. And there are others that are trying to create vaccines and other things around the globe. We'll leave their names off of today's conversation, but you get the picture. Okay? Where we find ourselves now in defunding the police forces, I don't know how that feels to you or what that looks like, but it's pretty sick here. And as we now talk, the ultimate movement here is to create a Marxist state. That's what this really is about. And this, I absolutely firmly believe with every piece of my DNA, every element of my body, that's what I believe here. And a Marxist state, just think about it, has no borders, no police force. There are no laws to enforce. This is their utopia. That is a scene you've seen in some far-fetched movie from long ago that you thought, well, this is a wicked, you know, it's a double popcorn even. Would never happen here, but it's funny as hell to watch. Kind of gruesome in the process as well. No more than the rest of how we've unsensitized everything. Everything is now okay. The killing, the murders, the stuff we see in the movies, the TV, the crime, the evil, it's all highly entertaining for people. That's the culture we find ourselves in. And then the good Lord says, what are you people doing? He already did the boat scene with Noah. We'll see what comes up next, people, but we are headed down a yellow brick road that we have not seen before. Well, I got Ilana Friedman on today, Ron Edwards as well. I want to talk a little bit more about all of this with you. We talk about these. I know Ilana's got a lot of background information on this defunding of the police and the Antifa or the Antifa, or whatever the hell you want to call them, scum. Let's pause a moment. Go grab a glass of water, or if it's happy hour, you can get a drink as well. And I'll see you back on the other side of the pause.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Defunding the police sounds like a really cool idea if you're 17 or 19 years old and it's all about just, you know, getting down to the local supermarket or getting up the road or being high or driving fast cars, you know, exciting life. I mean, it sounds pretty radical of an idea. If you don't have children to worry about or a family to support or things to be not really worried about the world as a whole, it could be very enticing to this group. To the rest of us, probably not so much. But the movement now to defund the police is absolutely gaining steam, significant support across this great land here. And again, every time you give them an inch, people, we've got to start giving the inches. Stop giving the inches. That's actually one of the problems I see with the right, is they're always quick to bend over and take one for the team. You see, that's what the right does so well. They are. The Republicans are fabulous for that. That should be their new mantra. We bend over and take one for the team. They've done that just about in every walk of life, you know, really. And, you know, just give them one more. They'll calm down just after this. Yep, absolutely. They can't want any more. Can't be any more radical than that. Come on. Yeah, you get the picture, people, where we're headed here, you know. Well, this is all, again, with the scab and George Floyd and the protests and the killing out there in Minneapolis. And this defund police now, it's gaining steam. I mean, there are places. We're talking now, you know, these are places in your country here, people, that you're listening to. Los Angeles, Philadelphia is another one, by the way. Phoenix, Nashville. The residents are asking for their city councils to redo the annual budgets, and they want to offset that and defund and pull dollars from the police department so they can't function. And that's the concept here. And there's case by case here. I'll tell you about here as we get into this. Let's bring Ron Edwards on here. You hear the comments, the opening remarks here about this defunding police. In your wildest imagination, have you ever thought or seen a moment in your life where you would think that we'd be having a real conversation about defunding law enforcement in this nation?
I am not surprised whatsoever. The reason why is because long ago, I started seeing the seeds of this effort to get rid of law enforcement. And it started on a personal level when I was attacked for almost taking out permanently a would-be robber that was breaking into my parents' home. I just happened to be visiting. I just happened to come up and caught the guy, and he had a gun. And so we did a little dirty dance in the driveway, and I took care of business. And they wanted to come after, they wanted to sue my family, they wanted to sue me, this, that, and the other. Well, I had a good lawyer that was shut down as quick as you can snap your fingers. But a couple of police officers told me, they said, all you had to do, Ron, was just let them get in the house and then finish the job, and we wouldn't be having all this problem. But the thing is, they wanted to take the fear of the police away, meaning, for years, I've heard a thug-like people, whether it's on talk shows or whatever, butt kissers, they didn't want the thugs to be afraid oh, take the fear away. They shouldn't be threatening. Well, they're only supposed to be threatening to knuckle draggers, to thugs anyway, but they wanted to take that away. So now this effort now to have them defunded is just another step in that direction. They want them to be free, the thugs to be free to rob, rape, do whatever they want to do.
Well, Ron, what happens when they get attacked by somebody? Let's say these people that are all bent up on this defunding business and they really want to get rid of the police.
Sure.
What do you think happens if I'm talking serious now, if they're brutally assaulted outside of their home somewhere, or their child is raped, or in other words, when you're at a point of mercy in your life and you need the help, who do you call, Ron?
They don't want to call anyone. And I can back up what I'm saying. Every weekend, every single weekend, especially when it gets nice and toasty outside, many, 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 many Black Americans are murdered, raped, clubbed, you name it. Physical harm, right? There's no outcry against the thuggery. The only time there's an outcry is when a police officer, you know, does something stupid, asinine, like the ones in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. But yet, the many dozens and dozens of the horrible occurrences every single weekend, there's no problem with that. They have no problem with their fellow thugs. But they have a problem with any symbol.
With law enforcement.
It's not just law enforcement. They don't want strong ministers. They don't want strong any symbol that attacks evil. They want to get rid of it. Yeah, this is a long, long march mm-hmm. by the dark side. That's why when you mentioned something very key, Malcolm, earlier, you talked about Trump being a divider, people being divided. Mm-hmm. Well, there's always going to be. Jesus said he came to divide. Mm-hmm. If there's no division, then there is no telling between good and evil. Thank God we still have a division.
Thank you for saying that. You are spot on. And I can't seem to get people to understand the point you're making right now, that we are supposed to be divided, Ron. They don't get the concept. Why?
No, they don't. And they don't want to see it. They want us all to be, whether it's the homosexual movement, whether it's the thug movement, whether it's the leftist political movement, whether it's the socialist pig movement, they all want to taint everybody. The abortion movement, they want it to be illegal so that the whole nation is held accountable, not just them.
Right.
Used to be, let us do our thing and leave us alone. No, they realize, we've got to poison everyone.
Well, that's exactly it. And what it is that those wheels, the small percentage of the population, let me call it this way, Ron, I call them the extremists. In any conversation or dialogue, there's an extremist viewpoint. And it's odd to me, or not really, how the extremist viewpoint is always the one that gets the media attention. They are the greasy wheel. They know how to use our system against us in a very evil way. And that's what they're doing, Ron. That's what's happening here. Trump, the biggest challenge some of middle America has with Donald J. Trump is that he's a bit hard around the edges. He's like the dad or the uncle that doesn't always come over and give you a hug and show you love when you might need it, Ron. Although there are times the president does do that. I'm not suggesting or calling him out for that. I mean, he can be very much that way. But what I'm talking about, to keep it in context, there is a good part of the population right now with what's happening here. They believe this president doesn't have a heart. They believe this president is a narcissistic SOB, and they believe he's only out for himself and that he's not uniting the country. Is that going to be his downfall right now in this country, do you believe, the fact that he can become or perceived as divisive, whether it's his Twitter account or any other account? Is that going to be the downplay here?
No, it's not going to be his downfall. In fact, it's going to be what helps win him re-election.
Wow.
You know, and the reason why I say that, Malcolm, is because throughout my entire life, I had men in my life, whether it was my dad, whether it was after meeting Woody Hayes, gentlemen of that caliber, who the weak-minded people, the Bohica, here it comes, you know, the bend over Bohica types, here it comes again, type of people who want everything, a wimpus Americanus apologeticus, who do not want the establishment of good and evil, right, wrong, overcoming evil through strength, peace through strength. Even Ronald Reagan said that. And the reason why he's going to win re-election, because just enough Americans, there's still enough intelligent Americans left who want what is good in this country to remain. And you cannot maintain good by being a soft touch. You cannot maintain. And by the way, Malcolm, Trump is one of the nicest people you would ever want to meet or know.
Right. That's it. And he kicks back hard, and people don't like that. Yeah. But, you know, that's something the right hasn't done well in a while, is they don't know how to kick back. And that's a point I want to bring to you folks here, because this president kicks back a lot. And this has been a failure of really the Republican Party, but the entire movement on the right. They don't kick back. What they keep doing is they keep bending over. They give a little bit more. You want a little bit more? Sure. You want little Johnny and little Mary to go pee-pee in the bathroom together? Sure. You want to defund them? Sure. You want to have people to change body parts and make that all cool? You can be whatever genetic code? Sure. You want to kill the baby? Well, sure, we can give you a little bit more there. What else would you like? Where does it stop, people? Where does the society become, you know, it's a bad movie now. I want to get off. I don't want to play that. I don't want to watch this movie anymore. I don't want to play this game of Jumanji anymore. I don't want to be on level 6, 7, 8. I want to get to a simpler time, people. Wow. We have got to get back to that simpler time. I'll tell you right now here. This Antifa group now, Antifa, whatever the hell you want to call them here. Well, this is a term now that is, they're referred to as a far left, and you always know when that far left, and let me tell you, far left, far right, anytime you need glasses or contacts to see the people because they're so damn far away, forget about it. Forget about it. We don't need extremists on the left or the right because we're not extremists here at all. We're just God-loving Americans. We are right here in the middle of the whole thing, in God's country. That's who we are. So this Antifa, this far left, again, they're a militant group, basically. Their whole mantra supposedly is that they resist the far right. They don't like the Nazi, the supremacy, the lunatics on the far. Now we're talking the far. These are people you and I probably haven't met because you and I probably don't hang around with these cats. Okay, I don't. I'm hoping you don't either. I'm talking far left, far right. As Ron was just saying, these are a lot of the evil forces in play here. That's who this Antifa is, okay? Right? And so part of the conversation right now, the president came out and, you know, he put a tweet out there and said, the United States of America will be designated in the Antifa folks as a terrorist organization. Now, this is just the other day. This happened just a few days ago, people, that came out. And then in a statement, our Attorney General Bill Barr says the Justice Department intends to prosecute anyone who crosses states' lines to instigate violence, because that's where the feds come in when you stop crossing state lines. If you want to sit in your state and create havoc, well, that's up to your local governor to step on you like the bug that you are. But if you start creating havoc for others in other states, well, that's when the feds come in. That's what Barr is saying. We're not going to have that, you see. Barr went on to say, with the rioting that is occurring in many of our cities around the country, the voices of peaceful and legitimate protests have been hijacked, you think, by violent radical elements, groups of outside radicals and agitators. Now, we could use a whole lot more adjectives there too as well, but you know where we're at here. They are exploiting the situation, Barr says, to pursue their own separate violent and extremist agenda. And this is really not any more just of a fuzzy talking point, people. We are in a heap of trouble here. Ilana Friedman, so what kind of trouble are we in here? I'd like listeners to you to tell us, because I know you've got the goods.
I think we're in big trouble. Malcolm, and it's bigger than we like to think. We always want to think that things are going to come back to normal eventually, and in the past they have, but I'd like to suggest a different kind of construct when we consider the range of political positions. We tend to think about it as as a straight line. The far left is the far left, the socialists and so forth, and the far and so forth. And the far right are the fascists but if you think about this continuum as a circle instead of a straight line, you'll find that the far left and the far right, the far right, are just about touching each other. And if you remember that the fascist Nazis call themselves the National Socialist Party, you start to get the picture. They are very close together. In fact, their ideologies are very similar, where the government has complete control over everything, whether you're far left or far right. So this is not incidental. This has been planned for a long time. We had, with the death of George Floyd, we had a real situation where America could come together and mourn the death of this man and correct the excesses of some of our police forces and so forth. And we had a real point where we could come together. But the planning of the forces of George Soros has been an agitator and a destroyer since he was a child. He worked for the Nazis at the age of 14. And this is a man who destroyed the British pound. And that was the start of his being a billionaire and a master destroyer. So he is now, he's got his fingers in hundreds of organizations whom he helps to fund and some of whom he helps to found.
Are you convinced he's behind some of what is happening? And what is the proof that we know that we could tell listeners we pretty well are sure of this? Do you know the answers to those?
I know some of the answers. I don't know all the answers because he's very, very secretive. He's the man behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, and the curtain hasn't been completely opened yet. But we know a few things about him, and that is that his organizations have funded an enormous number of far left and very radical organizations and some very central ones. I could give you the list now, but if you listen to my podcast, it's on there. I don't want to take the time now, but there is, what we're seeing now is the reality that is coming with this movement now to defund the police and to allow these very organized looters and destroyers on our streets to do whatever they want and nobody will stop them. This is ruled by mob. The mobs in the streets who've been looting and burning, and the mobs that follow them that demand more chaos by trying to destroy law enforcement. This is the time that the chaos will come from our own government, who will free the streets for the terrorists. And this is a big deal, and this is what he's trying to accomplish. He wants to accomplish the anarchy, the chaos that is going to destroy America. That's his aim.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's been accused. He's 89 years old, by the way. You were wondering about his age.
Yeah, what did I have him at, 180 a moment ago or something like that, I said?
Something like that. He's 89. He is determined that before he dies, he will destroy America.
I heard that. And Ron, let me ask you, is it possible that this George Soros could be the Antichrist?
It's not possible, but he is a reflection of the Antichrist spirit. He is totally anti-good, and that's all he is. He's just an evil, rich man who, for some sick reason, is allowed to get away with doing what he's doing.
What do you think about Barack Obama? Is he the Antichrist?
Ali Obama? No, he's just a reflection of that attitude.
All right, what about Bill Gates? Could he be the Antichrist?
Same thing.
All right, I just want to know. Do you think? Let me. I'm on a roll here. Hold on. Do you think the Antichrist is on the planet right now? I'm serious. I'm very serious.
I believe there's an Antichrist in every generation, but it's not that time yet for the Antichrist to come into his full position. Blah blah blah.
Okay, cool.
We haven't reached it yet.
All right.
Yeah, it's not there yet.
All right. Fair enough. Do you think that? And I want to ask Ilana something I asked you, Ron, earlier. Donald Trump, Ilana, is Donald Trump? Could he do a better job at uniting America?
I think he could, but I think that he is going. Uniting America is not his main purpose right now. I think his main purpose is to heal the economy of America, so that the next step would be to make America whole again, because the basis on which America was founded, which was a free society and a free market economy, that will exist in force, and it will be very powerful.
Okay.
And then people will come together by themselves, and they will do the right thing. I think that it's more like that than, because he enjoyed being a
okay.
kind of Donald
Trump win the next election, Ilana, based on your strategy there of the fact that he is not bent on uniting the country, as you suggest now, and that many people are accusing him of being entirely divisive and dividing the nation, and they don't like it, and you're seeing them speak out about it in big terms. Can he still win the heart of this nation and the next election with that strategy? Yes or no?
Yes, I believe he can. And I don't believe he wants to divide the country. I just think he's a tease. And he gets a lot of pleasure out of teasing the people whom he considers his adversary. And that's what he's doing. And that does not make the country whole. But having said that, I think the major portion of the American people understand that he is trying to repair America according to the foundation of our Constitution and our founding fathers, which was to make it a free country where everyone has opportunity and everyone can succeed if they just put in the hard work.
Amen. That's going to be the test of time right now, right there, what you say, right there. That's going to be the test of time. And so, Ron, I ask you, I believe that America is supposed to be a divided nation. I believe our founders and framers knew exactly that. People are using the divisiveness and the hatred in every way they can. It far reaches, I'm talking way beyond a Twitter account at this point. That is one piece of all of it. I'm even talking about going to the church next door with a Bible. I'm talking about any conversation he has. I'm talking about his generals coming out and talking against him. I'm talking about other people in power positions that are not happy with the Donald. And so I ask you, can he win the next election? Are you confident, Ron Edwards, that Trump wins the next election with this strategy in play?
I'm very confident that he's going to win the election. What you're witnessing when you have the backstabbing generals, when you have other people coming out and attacking him just because who is a Christian, not a butt-kissing Christian, but a strong Christian, when he symbolically walked over to the church and held up the Bible, I was positively affected by that. It was very symbolically very important. And we cannot be totally united. We're not supposed to be, as you said, Malcolm.
Amen.
How can evil be united with good? How can leftist pigs be united with patriots? Mm-hmm. How can, that's why we have jails, to separate criminals from the law-abiding. That's why you have two parties. There's going to be division. Jesus Christ himself said, hey, there's going to be division. I come to divide the nations and this, that, and the other. There's going to be division. If there's no division, you have China. If there's no division, you have North Korea, Venezuela. Everyone is in hell. And that's why you have the battle of good and evil in America. And the crescendo of it is going to be a victory for Trump and a victory for our nation over those who want to divide us from what is good. Mm. That's that. And we have no choice. I'm confident because we have no choice. Our backs are against the wall and we're going to come out swinging and we're going to win. America's going to win. Trump is going to win. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough summer, but we have to see it through.
Yeah. Boy, I like what you say there, Ron Edwards, a lot. I bet your listeners like what you're saying and hearing of your thoughts here, that you seem very confident in that. And Ilana, the force now that we're seeing with Minneapolis now, that scab I spoke about early on, it's about impossible to put the scab back on. And in the same way, Ilana, I would say, it would be equivalent to putting the genie back in the bottle. The genie never goes back in the bottle, Ilana, once it's out, just like the scab will not go back on. It is exposed now for all that it is. And racism and slavery and all have a very evil force in this nation. This nation has struggled to get past that evil over generations. And I wasn't making light of that early on, by the way, when I suggested that this was a conversation from yesteryear. And there's always going to be people. There are exceptions to every rule, so you don't have to stand on your soapbox and prove to me that somebody is racist. I get it, people. But if you're hanging with those people or paying attention to them, as Ron Edwards would say, then you're a damn fool and you're wasting your time. And maybe you should look at the world that way instead of bitching and complaining about everybody. There's always going to be an exception to the rule. So, Ilana, where we are right now, and there really is a major movement here to defund the police force, which I'll be talking more about here in the days ahead here. It is mind-boggling that these people really believe there's going to be a nation left. You've got all kinds of domestic terrorists. How concerned are we with this whole Antifa movement and what's happening? Can we put this out like a bad light?
This isn't a brush fire. I think what we're seeing is a major turning point in our history. It's what Robert Frost called the road not taken. He came to a path and he had to make a choice between one road or another.
One of my favorites.
We are seeing a major turning point, and it's a colossal dynamic out there on the streets, robbing and looting and carrying the banner for anarchism or socialism, and probably a combination of those, that we have been fighting against because it will destroy America. And that's the point. That's what they're trying to do, is destroy America as we know it. They're anarchists. Mm-hmm. And the gullible left is buying it hook, line, and sinker. Yeah. It employs hundreds of useful idiots, maybe thousands, to carry out their agenda by destroying the basis of our republic, which is the infrastructure of a free economy and the guarantees of the Bill of Rights. And if they are able to destroy those by, for example, eliminating the police, what happens then? Then you have chaos on the streets of every city in America. You can't do that. We have to have law and order. That's part of our system. And what we have to do is make sure, in whatever way we can, that the excesses of some of the police forces that have caused this problem,
right,
or have been a kind of a catalyst for causing this problem, we now have to rein in some of those.
They have to be dealt with. You're 100% right. They have to be dealt with, is what we're saying here. And you're right. But as I was saying in the last couple of days, you folks have been hearing me here, there is 2% of any profession or industry that is bad. I mean, it just is a rule. And to completely mark and mire and demean our law enforcement in the nation here because some bonehead in Minneapolis does something stupid, and then they try to connect the dots to show a bigger narrative, is what they're doing here. But the problem is, Ilana just said something key here, I think, to pay attention to, people, and that is that the left that she refers to, the gullible left, she said, the gullible left, there are some of those people on the left that are like marshmallows, if you will, and they see a different kind of America, and they're being sucked into this vacuum of socialism because the Democrat Party of JFK is long gone, buried, and dead. And so now you have the communists and the radicals and the Marxists have sucked this thing up like a bad lemon on a hot summer afternoon, people. And that's what we've got here at this point. I mean, that's what's happened. And so you've got some of your friends and family that are on the left. And I've got a lot of Democrat friends and a lot of people that are moderates, blue dogs in the middle of the road, sort of, you know, just want everything to be cool. They may even smoke a little weed now and then, and, you know, they love everything. It's all cool. And that's all fine. I mean, that's all fine, but let's not sell our soul out, you know? I mean, let's not sell the soul of America out just to, you know, align yourself with the Marxists, will you? I mean, aren't there enough places on the planet that have been populated with Marxists and where socialism lives well? Why does that have to happen here, people? I mean, why this, as I say often, this is not to be a Venezuela.
That is not our grand plan here. That's not what America is. We have to be careful at this point. We're almost 244 years into the experiment, and I warn you all the time, and I will warn you again. You cannot take her for granted. America should never be taken for granted. Please don't take it for granted. We are at that tender, tender point of when a power goes down. And if we're not careful, we may not like to see the other side of what they are building right now. And that version of America and what that looks like. And I was even thinking yesterday, well, if this doesn't work here, what country do we move to? Where is freedom after here? Is America freedom's best hope? And potentially some people would say it's its only hope. And if America is gone, what do we have left? What is left? I mean, Europe isn't safe at that point. Where is safe? Iceland? The Antarctica, maybe? Potentially it would be with Elon Musk on another planet somewhere, huh? And that's where we find ourselves. So for those who think it's not really a big deal, Ilana says it's a moment in time. I think Ron would agree with that as well. A tremendous thank you here to Ilana Friedman, Ron Edwards. Their voices and write-ins are all on America Out Loud. You can hear them, see them. They're amazing patriots and people who passionately love America. We are blessed. We have so many amazing patriots. We are a magnet toward patriotism at America Out Loud, and we invite you there always to be comfortable, to be your home for the truth. The Out Loud truth can be found at AmericaOutLoud.com. That is our mission, bar one. We are spearheading the good fight. That's what we're here for. So we'll continue on here, friends. Join me on the weekend on Viewpoint this Sunday. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot happening in the world here and in this nation. And please continue to fight for liberty. We'll continue our part of the bargain. Please do yours and share the good word. It's time to get involved and get loud.